Hi, I'm Keegan.
And I'm Madigan.
And you're listening to
Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist.
This is a podcast where we explore the world through our own personal feminist perspectives. Okay, so Madigan.
Hi.
Welcome to the first day of Pride Month.
Thank you for welcoming me, Keegan.
You're so welcome.
Well, of course, this is a month that we always celebrate here at Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist, and we have lots of fun stuff in store for this month. Is there anything that you wanted to say, Keegan? I kind of cut you off there via Zoom.
No, you're good. I was just going to say basically the same thing. We've got really fun stuff this month. We've got stuff planned, and it kind of coincided about a couple of weeks ago. On Netflix, they released a trailer, and this trailer actually made its rounds on my social media, and particularly My Worst Date. We have a Facebook group, and a couple of people posted this trailer in there because that's all about dating and love, and this movie is about love.
I watched
the trailer. I remember watching it. I was laying in bed. It was like the first thing I watched when I woke up, and I was crying.
Yeah, I watched it at work and I was crying.
Yes. So I was immediately, I showed it to Anthony and I was like, we have to watch this. Mm-hmm. And so then when we were discussing what we wanted to do for Pride Month, you brought up that we should talk about this movie.
Yes, I watched this movie last week. Max and I were going to watch it together, and I've been kind of bugging him, and he wasn't in the mood for it. So he eventually was just like, you know what, you really want to watch it, you see it, we can always watch it again together another time. So I watched it when I was at work one day when I had my little lunch time or whatever, and I had a lot of feelings about it. So when I was talking to Keegan about wanting to talk about it for Pride Month, I'm glad that I now know that she has feelings as well. So I'm excited. I'm excited to tell this amazing love story first and foremost. And I'm also excited to discuss a bit of something that Keegan and I both really love. And that is the art of filmmaking and storytelling. And I feel like there are some great parts of that in this story. And there are some not so great parts. So should we get started?
Yeah, let's get started. So first of all, the movie we are talking about is A Secret Love, which is a documentary.
Once I had a secret love.
I loved that music in the beginning. It was so perfect, and it was beautiful.
It explains Terry and Pat to a T.
It truly does. And this story, it's the story of a lesbian couple who kept their relationship a secret from their family in particular. They did have friends and things like that who knew that they were out, but their family did not. In fact, their parents both died without ever knowing about their relationship. They kept this a secret for 7 decades almost.
So yes, 60 I was going to say, years. This relationship started in the 40s. So that's an important factor because that is the reason that they never told anybody.
Right. And I did see that this was filmed in 2009. So it has been over a decade since this was filmed.
They actually filmed, I believe, for a number of years. Because there is one time that they say 1 year later. And I believe there's another time jump at the end that they don't specify.
Yeah. I would say it's probably about a 2 year span that they spent filming.
Right. Yes. At least. Yeah. So we open in St. Charles, Illinois at Pat and Terry's house. And Pat is on the phone with Terry's doctor. Now, I'm just going to kind of describe these two women really quick, just so off the bat you have an idea of and a picture of them in your head if you haven't seen this movie. So Pat is not your warm and cuddly type when you first get to know her. She's a little more guarded. She's going to say how she feels.
And I love that. I loved Pat.
She's amazing. She's the Keegan in the situation because she's going to tell you exactly how she feels. But truthfully and with kindness, she's not going to be rude, but she's going to say exactly how she feels. And she's also incredibly protective of the people that she loves. And then we have Terry, who's kind
fucking the most adorable, though. I have to say, the number of times I kept saying to Anthony while we were watching it, I was like, Terry is so fucking cute.
She's so
like,
cute.
Oh, my God.
She has the bluest eyes I've ever seen. And she just radiates positivity. This woman is something special, and we learn more and more about what makes this woman special. But just off the bat, you know, she's more timid, happy, positive. People are drawn to her. Pat is a little harder to get to know. So we start the movie.
That's part of what makes them a good couple. You know, you can't have two softies.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, they wouldn't work. So Pat is on the phone with Terry's doctor, and she hands Terry a phone so the three of them can all be on together. And the first thing we see, and I was very confused about this the first time that I watched the movie, is Pat referred to Terry as her cousin. And then Terry referred to Pat as her cousin, saying, yes, my cousin's on the phone. So I was like, wait, am I seeing her cousin, or am I seeing the woman that she is with? Like, it totally threw me off my game the first time I saw it. And the second time I watched it, I knew, because they mentioned it later in the film, I knew to look for it. And I had a deeper sadness for it because they referred to each other as cousins their whole life.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So they were on the phone with Terry's doctor because Terry has Parkinson's. And
it was very apparent. You could see her shaking. And as you watch the film, you can see that becomes more pronounced throughout the couple of years that it took them to film this.
Definitely. Both of them, I mean, they're old women, you know, both of their health, we see deteriorate a bit through this film. So, right.
And Terry is obviously older. She's clearly older by a couple of years, and
I believe she's older by 4 years.
Yeah, and her health is also deteriorating much quicker.
Yes, definitely. So they are both from Canada originally, and Terry is very, very close to her family, and they really, really want Terry and Pat to come back to Edmonton, Canada, and look at some nursing homes and be with the family. Now, Terry is very open to this.
That part of it is understandable. Like, that part of it is understandable for me. I'm like, I get it. Mm-hmm. You love your family member. You want them to be close to you. But it should also be said, and I think that it should be said fairly early on, that this, the person who made this film, the director of this film, is Terry's great nephew.
Yes.
So it's, Terry has a very, very close niece named Diana, who is very prominently featured throughout the film. And this film was directed by her son.
Yes.
So that kind of gives you a good, knowing that, which I didn't know going in, that was the case. Knowing it now, you can very much tell that that is the case, because this film is very, very, very centered around Terry's family.
Well, and that's my biggest complaint, because I'm glad that you mentioned this, because I'm going to mention this at the top because it's part of the many bones I have to pick with this film. So originally, when Terry came out to her great nephew, he wanted to tell this love story. And that's when they started, you know, getting all this archival footage together and creating this film. And then when Terry's health started deteriorating and there started being all this stuff with the family, he changed the story. And I think that hurt him.
I think it hurt him a lot, and you definitely see that. And also, I would say, you know, both of us having watched the trailer for this film and crying at the trailer and all the things and thinking, oh, this is going to be such an incredible love story, I think that was misleading.
It was incredibly misleading.
The story is interesting and profound in its own way. I just feel like he lost his messaging somewhere along the line.
He was trying to tell too many stories, and he was trying to get too many points across. He was trying.
Absolutely.
He went in trying to tell a love story, and he ended up telling a story basically about a family who has a history of some severe homophobia, basically coming to terms with their aunt being a lesbian in different ways, and these different family members, and also the women getting used to being out with their families. But it's also about them and this battle over Terry's attention and putting them in a home where they want them to be. It's very controlling.
Yes, there was definitely that feeling. But I mean, I would say it is, I don't know, it's complicated. It's very obvious to me that he started from the perspective of it being a love story, because you do get that.
Yeah.
You do get that. You definitely sense that this is a couple that loved each other. You definitely sense or love each other. And you definitely get an understanding of the obstacles that they had to overcome in order to be together. He did do some interviewing of experts, you know, talking to people who were around at the time.
For like 5 minutes total.
But it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough because at the end of the day, like you said, the focus of the film really, really shifted.
Yeah.
And that really did hurt it because it should have been, the focus should have been on the two of them. And it wavered.
Yeah.
It wavered a lot.
Yeah. It was very clear that this was a straight nephew. it was a straight guy trying to tell the story of his
aunt. And it's difficult because it was produced by Ryan Murphy.
Right.
Who is a gay man. And so I think having that name attached to this story really makes people think that it's going to be something incredibly profound.
And exactly.
I still do feel like the story was worth telling.
Yes.
I really do. I think it's fascinating. Terry was a member of the All-American Girls baseball team. You know, if you've ever seen A League of Their Own,
yeah.
she was a member of one of those teams, which is fascinating. And she was a lesbian. And all of that is
good enough.
Incredible.
It's all good enough, you know?
It's good enough. We didn't need all the family stuff.
Right. But unfortunately, we still have to cover it because we are recapping this documentary. So the family is urging Terry and Pat to come to Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. And Pat is like, no way are you getting me to the frozen north. And Terry being
which is really saying something from somebody who's from Chicago. Because it's fucking cold in Chicago.
They're both from Saskatchewan. They moved to Chicago together.
They've been in Chicago for like 60 years. And to say like, it's too cold. I'm like, you're in Chicago. It's fucking cold in Chicago, which should tell you how cold it is in Edmonton.
Go further north, man. You're going to get even colder. It's crazy. So, but Terry, being the sweet nugget that she is, she's just like, I don't care where we are. As long as we're together, I'll be happy. So she's just a sweetheart. So,
well, and I did get a sense that Terry did want to be around her family.
Yes.
Like that, I did get that sense that she wanted to, but she also didn't want to upset anyone. So she told Pat that she was happy with whatever, and she told her family that she was happy with whatever.
Yes.
You know.
So we are about to meet Terry's family, and I would call this, for me, it was a bit of a jarring introduction. There's something about, like, I think it was like 5 or 6 of them huddled in a circle with this very extreme peppy positivity that gave me the creeps. And we meet the number one pepster, Diana Bolin. And I have a love for Diana. Or sorry, Diana. I have a love for Diana, but I do have feelings about her.
Right. I would say I liked Diana. Overall, I did like her overall.
I just think that it was, she actually had a very great story arc, I've got to say. Her, but and some of it isn't even seen on the screen, and we'll talk about it later. But I like Diana, but I do have a lot of feelings. And Diana is Aunt Terry's niece. And it's made very clear by Diana that she did not have a great relationship with her parents. And they don't really bring up why right away. And they get into that later on in the film. I was trying to get those notes up there, and it just wasn't
working.
Well,
they still don't really talk about why she doesn't have a good relationship with her mother. Like, they discuss why she has a bad relationship with her father.
True. Yeah, and she says but about...
Terry was very clearly a mother figure to her.
She was, and she even says, I owe everything to her. And then she kind of gives a look and makes it a point to say, and only her. And Diana had only found out that Aunt Terry was gay 3 years prior to the making of this film. So it really is. It still, I feel very much a weird culture shock almost for her family to kind of get used to it. And Terry.
Yes, very clearly, I think it was a weird culture shock for them, which is strange to me because I don't know. I feel like there had to have been a degree of willful ignorance there because I'm like, this is a woman that your aunt has lived with for decades, has always been there.
For you know all family events.
At all family events, comes to visit all the time. Why was it such a shock for you? Like,
well,
even
it is
if you
interesting.
Didn't know.
It is interesting because Terry and Pat, when they were young, Pat does say that Terry's father said that he wanted to adopt her. There was, before Diana was even born, there was this closeness in the families with Pat. So I wonder if that's kind of what they thought.
Which is fine, but to me, I'm like, okay, so maybe you didn't know. Maybe there was something in you that, like, was resisting that idea for whatever reason. But I also am a little confused as to why it was such a shock. Like, right. Really, it never occurred to you. I mean, it did occur to her because she did at one point ask mm-hmm. her Aunt Terry if she was a lesbian. Her Aunt Terry denied it because she was so scared and nervous about coming out.
Yeah, she...
But I also don't understand the family being so, like, so shocked.
Yes.
Like, this is someone that your aunt has lived with. This, your Auntie Pat, as you call her, uh-huh. has been in your family your whole life. Why is this so weird?
Yeah, and it's, for you? And it was so heartbreaking. They go to an interview with Terry after, you know, Diana is talking about when she came out to her, and Terry just says, I didn't want to lose her love. And Terry said to Diana after she came out to her, said, you can go back home and tell the other kids if you want. I don't care, but you were the one I wanted to know. And
it's really,
it's so sad. Touching.
It's touching, but it's also very sad. I mean, we do a coming out episode, or we have done a coming out episode the last 2 years that we have had this podcast. We've had great stories. We've had devastating stories. We've had everything under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And hearing this woman who has been living as a lesbian woman with her partner for decades.
65 years hearing, at that point. But at the start of filming.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, and then she had told Diana a few years before. So probably she'd been living with Pat for 61 years or something like that. Hearing her say how nervous she was, hearing Pat say, you know, Terry's hands were shaking. I had to hold her hands.
Mm-hmm.
In order for her to tell this member of her family, who is like a daughter to her, who gave her everything, who loves her unconditionally, to hear her have that much anxiety.
It's heartbreaking.
It's so sad to me.
Well, and we get into why that fear was so instilled in her. And I think that this is the answer to the questions that her family has, and they're just not willing to see it. So we meet Diana's brother, Kim Bolin, who would be Terry's nephew, and he talks about their father, who would be Terry's brother. And they say that he was a drunken, homophobic, cheating father who raised him to believe that being gay was a sin. And Diana's father used to say something, and this is a huge trigger warning, like with bright neon yellow, shining light trigger warning. I don't want to say this, but it is disgusting, and I have to. Diana would say that her father would tell her that Terry needs to get fucked by a big black guy to set her straight. And then she makes it a point to say he would say that all the time, sober, not drunk. So to me, to say it's not like he was just drunk and angry and singing things. He was telling his child, who thinks the world of her aunt and thinks of her as a mother, a child that you've also raised to believe that being gay is a sin and a horrible thing, you're telling her these negative things about her aunt then, and kind of creating this negative image of what that could mean. And you're also being fucking racist. And like, very, it's very threatening. Like, the intent behind it is very threatening.
A delight. Yes.
It sounds like he's like, she needs to get raped is what that sounds like to me. And I know that, and again, well, that's racist, but like, that's what his intent probably was.
It's such a problematic view of homosexuality as well, to say that people are gay only because they haven't had sex with somebody of the opposite gender. It's very, I don't know. It's
very,
very
small-minded.
Jarring.
I mean, it's really,
when it was said, in the documentary, I remember feeling like, what the fuck did I just hear?
Yeah.
And then she goes on, Terry goes on to talk about her parents. Mm-hmm. And while her father was an incredibly like loving and open man, who she says, you know, she kind of indicates a few times that it's possible that maybe he had some kind of idea, maybe not overtly,
right,
about,
well,
her situation.
She and her father were incredibly close, and he was a major role model and focal point in her life. And really, she I believe, feels that he's kind of the reason she is the way that she is. She wells up when she speaks about him. And they talk about drinking booze and partying, and I have a feeling and that her dad he knew.
I do too, and her dad had a very soft spot for Pat mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah.
Loved Pat deeply, you know, and then she talks about her mother who... she loves her mother. She says that Grandma loved Rosie. My mother. You know, yeah, Grandma Rosie. I loved Grandma Rosie. But, or not Grandma Rosie.
For her, it's her the mom, mother. But you know what I'm saying. The nieces all say Grandma Rosie, so that's how I have her in my notes.
She loves her mother, but she does say, if my mom had known, my mom would have disowned me.
Yeah.
That's the kind of person that her mother was. It's the kind of environment that she grew up in. Mm-hmm. You know, it's tough.
Yeah, it's really tough. And the person that kind of starts bringing this up is my least favorite human being in this movie. And she might be one of my least favorite human beings. I shouldn't say on the planet because there's a lot of bad shit happening right now. But like she's in my top 50 list for sure. We meet Tammy. I can't stand Tammy.
Tammy. How dare she share a name with my mom?
I know, right? It's so cruel.
Horrible.
So Tammy is...
But she's Tammy with a Y. Different breed.
Completely different. Like I'm Maddie with an IE. Like I can't relate to the Maddies with Ys. We're completely different species. So we meet Tammy. And Tammy is Terry's other niece, Diana's sister. There's a lot of family members involved. I'm going to try to keep y'all in the loop. Tammy Bolin, it is the Bolin family. All right. So she starts out by saying how much she loves her Aunt Terry, but that she feels betrayed that Terry didn't tell her sooner. And I was like,
way to center yourself, you piece of shit. I was like,
girl. And then she has the audacity to look at me and say, have we lived in a lie?
Look at you.
Look at me. Had the audacity to look me in the eye and say, have we lived a lie this many years? And I, like, this pissed me off the first time. But the second time when I was, like, really paying attention and really reading subtitles and taking notes, I had to pause it. And I just started journaling, essentially. Because it boggles my mind that somehow the sexuality of her aunt was so important to her that that must be a sole part of her identity, that she felt so offended and betrayed that one part of her aunt's life was not shared with her. When
literally, how does it change the relationship that you had with these people at all?
It doesn't. It doesn't at all. These women were not faking their love. They were not pretending with you. They love you and they were being themselves.
And they don't owe you shit.
They don't owe you anything. They could have died with never telling anybody, and that would have been their right, and you need to accept that. Fuck Tammy. I don't like her at all.
Well, and she goes on to say that they needed to get married at this point now that everybody knew, because living in sin was a bad thing.
Yes.
These women have been together for 60-something years, and let's just disregard also the fact that this wasn't even an option for them. The option to legally marry wasn't even on the table for them until a couple of years before this documentary was filmed.
Right, exactly.
So it's, why would those words ever come out of your fucking mouth?
Well, and it's so, this woman is so bizarre to me because she jumps around because I feel like she catches herself and realizes that she's being filmed and she's saying shit she shouldn't be saying. Sure. Because yeah, then.
I got that too.
She immediately, so they kind of go into like, that's when they start talking about Terry's relationship with her mother and father. And so we start to understand why Terry probably wasn't so open about talking to her family about her sexuality. And then Tammy completely turns the car around and whips a Yui around and she goes, you know who really should be buried here? Looking at Grandma Rosie's plaque, which is Grandma Rosie, Pat, and Terry. She goes, her husband Jack should be here, not Pat and Terry. And then she says they should get married. They're living in sin. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, what are you trying? I don't, like, she's trying to make too many points. None of them make sense and none of them are...
Well, it's intelligent, it's interesting, points. You know, because again, I didn't know that this was filmed by a family member until after I watched it. And looking back on it now, it's interesting to me because I do think that Tammy said things to her nephew that she probably wouldn't have said out loud to a stranger, mm-hmm. to another filmmaker. I don't think she would have said that thing about living in sin, but she felt as though she was in a safe space because she was talking to her nephew.
Exactly. You do see her backtracking a lot and kind of checking what she's saying, but she said it and he kept it in. He could have edited that stuff out to make his family look better. And he didn't edit anything nasty out.
No, he didn't. And I do wonder, well, maybe there was stuff that we didn't see, but I wonder how much influencers say Ryan Murphy had as a producer.
That's a good point.
I wonder if he got to look at the footage or not.
There were other producers. I don't know. You know, I always wonder when there are these big name producers and executive producers, how involved they actually are. So it would be interesting to know. So at this point, we've met most of our main players as far as Terry's family goes. And now we start kind of talking to Pat about her relationship with Terry's family. And she, this made me really sad because I loved Pat immediately. Like I would meet Pat and immediately want to please her and make her like me. That's the type of person that she seems to me. And she has this sadness saying that Terry's family just kind of puts up with her because she's with Terry. Sorry, there's sirens going on outside. But that made me really sad because she was brought into that family with open arms. That's how she was, you know, introduced. And now, you know, this next generation and everything just don't seem to really understand. And there really is a lot of jealousy that we're going to see between Diana and Pat in particular. And so we...
Well, all of them, I think that there's, there is a very weird... And I don't want to say this because closeness in a family is wonderful. Right. And I hope that you have closeness in your family. And it is, it does seem to make Terry very, very happy. Mm-hmm. And that's lovely. I love seeing a close family. But there is a possessiveness. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that same possessiveness would have been applied had Terry been in a heterosexual relationship.
Right. I think they probably would have thought that the man would be able to take care of her. I didn't even think about it that way. But, you know, this was an interesting dynamic for me to see because we do see this more, this Diana, Pat, and Terry triangle that we have going on, kind of fighting over Terry's love. And it's just really interesting. It kind of seemed to mirror a lot of the ways that, like, my family relationship was. Like, I feel that my dad was very jealous about my relationship with my mom. He wanted my mom very much to himself. So we had this bizarre relationship as well. And kind of seeing them talk about each other this way was really interesting for me to see. And the biggest point of contention here is that Diana wants Pat and Terry to come to a nursing home in Edmonton, Canada. So they decide, they go and they look at a place, and the whole time Pat just looks pissed. We already know she doesn't want to be there. It's too cold, and she's like lagging behind. Diana's like holding Terry's hand, which I was like, girl, let her wife or not wife yet, like take care of her. Like it just seemed weird to me. I was like, let her do something, you know?
I can kind of see it both ways because I do understand, like, when you have a close relationship with an older relative, you don't always necessarily, like, include the spouse on that if you're holding your grandma's hand or something like
that. I guess
so. Like, that stuff. I get it, but maybe I will say it was cut in such a way that when it was cut to that part, it was literally right after Diana had said, I feel like we're in competition for my aunt.
And I was just
says that.
Yeah, and that's why I was just going to say, I think I was tricked by the filmmakers. So it's funny that you just said that because they totally did. They were like, oh, look, Pat's lagging behind, because I was like, what a bitch. Like, Pat, come on, girl. So, but...
Well, I mean, but it could be either thing.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Like, if that's a dynamic that's always at play, then yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah.
And you can't fault... I don't know. You can't fault Pat for feeling like she doesn't want to be around that all the time, because you don't want to always feel like the odd person.
Well, and Diana is not involving Pat in the love. And that's what bothers me. It's not so much that she's giving so much love to Terry. It's that she's not including Pat. So they're looking around this nursing home. And like I said, Pat is clearly not happy with it. And they're discussing, you know, the living situations with, like, the head of this assisted living center. And they're asking a lot of questions. And they bring up the fact that they're a couple. And they want to make sure that the community there is going to be okay with it. And the woman working for the assisted living center is like, well, you'd be the first ones. But if you walk down the halls, everybody says hello. It was the most candid thing I ever heard. And then you just see Pat's face, like, that means fucking shit. They don't know we're a couple yet. Like,
see, I love Pat in that way because I don't like, you know, I don't like the idea that because people smile and wave at you that they're not homophobic. Yep. Or because people use that excuse as well for racism, and like somebody can smile to your face and still be a racist piece of shit.
Yeah.
So it really doesn't say anything. And I understand that the woman who worked at the nursing home, that was her job, was to try and sell them on being there. But I think we need to refrain from assuming people are not homophobic just because they're friendly.
Right. And it was such a Canada. And her, like, they all say hello. It was so Canada. And I was like, what an ignorant way of thinking. But I love that when Pat comes to the defense to be like, you know, we're not going to pretend that we're not a couple, essentially, is what she says. And I love that Terry steps in and says, because we are a couple. And then Pat's like, and we've been a couple for many, many years.
Yes.
You know, like this is important to us.
You don't hear Terry. Again, she's more submissive in a lot of ways. She's a lot quieter. And you don't necessarily hear her voice it like that as much throughout the film. Like, Pat is very much, you can very much tell that Pat is like, we don't have to live in the closet anymore. We don't have to be these people anymore. We can get married if we want now. Like, she is very much wanting to push them into the future.
Pat is very of the times.
Right. And Terry, not that she doesn't, not that she's ashamed of their relationship or anything like that, but she is far less vocal. And so it is nice to hear her say that.
It is.
Like, in that moment, to say, like, we are a couple.
Yeah.
I want you to be very clear before we move any further into potentially being in this place. Mm-hmm. We are a couple.
Oh, it was a very...
And I love that, again, Pat is so, like, defensive. I don't mean that in a negative way.
No.
I mean, she's protective.
Yes.
In that, like, she's like, I want you to know we have been a couple probably longer than a lot of the other people here.
We've been a couple longer than you've been alive, bitch. Like,
right.
You know?
Exactly.
So this is the first time that... well, maybe the second time that Diana starts to piss me off a little bit, because she has the audacity, another audacity situation, to basically call out Pat in front of this nursing home worker and be like, because the worker is saying like, oh, well, you're throwing up tons of curveballs, which she's not. She's asking really good questions of things that she needs to know if she is going to live there for potentially the rest of her life.
Right. You're asking her to uproot her life from somewhere she has been for 6 decades.
Yeah. And then Diana has the audacity to say to this woman that they don't know, well, I just don't think Pat wants to live here because she doesn't want to share Terry. And that to me was very inappropriate. It did not have to be brought up in that situation. She wasn't even saying it to Pat. She was saying it to this stranger. And that just felt icky to me. And I didn't like it.
And it makes me wonder, you know, because I am trying to center this conversation while we recap this story. I want to center this conversation around, you know,
Terry and Pat.
Homosexuality.
Yes, I'm sorry. I'll try not to get too off topic because it pisses me off.
No. Okay. Because these are the things that happen in the movie, but I wonder if Diana maybe is responding in this way because she hasn't fully wrapped her mind around the fact that they're a couple.
Okay.
Because she's only had this information for so many years. Like, what do you think about that? Like, do you think that she would have responded this way if she had known all along? Or do you think it's a matter of, like, she doesn't look at Pat fully like a spouse?
You know, I think those are both really good points. It could potentially be true at the same time. That's a really good point.
It makes me wonder, because I do wonder if this was a man who Terry had been married to for 60-something years, would her response have been the same? Would she have been so dismissive?
I don't think so.
Or even if Pat had been Pat, but she had known that they had been a couple for so many years, would she be so dismissive? It's
right.
I don't know.
I wonder. That's a really, really good point. But I love that we get back into the love story after this. We have a great flashback. We're back in Chicago. We see young Terry and Pat, and they are the cutest things ever. There's footage of them on the beach, and they have these...
Can I say how much fucking footage they had?
So
it's amazing.
Much footage.
Like, so much footage and so many pictures.
From, like, the 40s and before. Like, it's insane. I don't have, like, my... dad was born in 49. I have very few photos. I have no video of him to my recollection anywhere. So it's amazing. And especially, they're all farmers too. They don't have like tons of money, but they recorded everything.
Yeah. I mean, we have lots of, I have a family of farmers and we have lots of pictures, but we don't have a lot of video footage. And they have a lot. I mean, and part of that I think is because Terry was a baseball player. And so you get a lot of that footage, but there's footage of the two of them together quite often.
And there's some very, like, what would be very scandalous footage at the time.
Intimate. Yeah. Yeah. And intimate photos as
exactly.
well. Exactly. I mean, not like nudes or anything, but the two of them in bed together.
Exactly. So we see them in this cute footage and they're on the beach and they're wearing these hats that are like kind of reminiscent of party hats, but made of like fabric. And they're kind of goofing off with these hats and playing at the beach. And I love the part where I think Terry puts the hat on Pat's butt.
I think so.
I couldn't.
Too,
I was pausing it and trying to figure out who it was, and I was like, "This seems like a Terry thing." And she puts, and Pat's like laying on her stomach, and you can't see her at all. And she just places it on her butt, and they kind of like tussle with each other, and Terry just falls back laughing, and it's just like you can see their love for each other, and it's just so fucking beautiful.
Yeah. And then they come back into, you know, kind of like today. They move back into today. Mm-hmm. And that whole part, they're kind of like talking about their romance and how things happened. And then they come back into today and they are going to a dinner party with a couple of friends of theirs who
Jack
are
and
gay
John.
Men.
Jack and John.
Jack and John.
I love them.
Who are gay men. It's super fucking cute.
Yes.
They're having dinner and they're discussing basically that they created their own family.
They went
to Chicago where they moved to Chicago in part because they could not be themselves in Canada. So they moved to Chicago together and they found their people. They found their people.
Yeah.
And it was so kind of beautiful to watch. They showed all of these pictures of these parties.
I
want
to go to those
have.
Parties. Those, because they were saying we didn't go, you know, they get into the bars and the bar raids, which we've covered on past episodes during coming out month. So we could definitely get into that, but I don't know how much we want to get into that on this episode. But the
right, I mean, I'll touch on it very quickly. So at the time, in major cities especially, and they were in Chicago, mm-hmm. if you were gay or lesbian, they would raid these bars that were known to be gay or lesbian bars.
Yeah.
And for the women, if they didn't have a certain number of pieces of female, quote-unquote, clothing on, they would be arrested for impersonating a man. And for the men, they would oftentimes be arrested and also their names would be printed in the paper and they could lose their jobs. They could have their children taken away, and that goes for women as well. So it was a very dangerous time. And for Pat and Terry, they were Canadian. Mm-hmm. So they could not afford, they were here on green cards, they could not afford to lose their green cards. And so the two of them never went to bars.
Yeah.
They would find friends and they would have parties. And they would say it was all about the parties. The women would be able to get up and dance together.
Yeah.
And Jack and John hosted a lot of these parties. And it was really fun to see all the pictures.
I love Jack and John so much. I do want to give a brief shout out to good old Marge Summit, who we meet. And she was a bar owner for the bar His and Hers. And I just think she's so witty and wonderful. She talks about how she was never caught because she would hop the fence and run for it. And I just thought she was gutsy.
There was more of that. Like, that's what this movie was missing
exactly.
for me. Is because you're going down this path of being like, oh, it's going to be this kind of movie.
Right.
Where we're talking about, like, they're interviewing people who were there at the time and they're talking about the difficulties of being in the LGBTQ community and the things that they went through and why it would have been so important to Terry and Pat yeah. to keep their relationship a secret. I really wish that there had been more of that in this documentary. I feel
Definitely.
Like that's the direction that I really wish that this documentary had gone in. And I think that's the direction it was going to go in. They were interviewing experts. They were really focused on their lives as lesbian women in this time and why it was so important for them to maintain this facade. And that is what was interesting to me. There were other things that became interesting to me later as the documentary went on, but I really wish this had been that kind of story, that kind of love story. And after this point, you know, they veer away from it some.
They do. They kind of go right back to, you know, the regular scheduled programming of this film. They give you a couple minutes of, you know, really great stories in filmmaking where it's relevant to the original topic. And then they're like, just kidding.
They do talk about, I do want to say that they do talk about the two of them getting together. Oh, sorry.
They do come back. Yes. But I was just saying in general, it's like they're doing great stuff and then they jump back to other things. But we do go back to present day where they're having their dinner party with Jack and John, my best friends. And they are talking about the idea of marriage, and their friend Jack seems to be very eager to marry his lifelong partner, and John's kind of like, I don't really see the point in it. And Pat's the same way as Jack, where she's like, I would love to get married. And it's funny because Pat doesn't seem to be the emotional one, though we find she's this very sensitive poet. But at this point, we don't really know that yet. So she's this like, I want to get married person, and Terry's like, why? We don't need it. There's no reason for it, you know?
Right. But what we do know about Pat is that she is very eager, I think, to live her life authentically as a out woman.
True.
Now that she can. I think that she really wants that. Whereas Terry, I feel like Terry is a much more like a people pleaser, less likely to rock the boat. And I think she feels more like, if it's worked this long, why do we need to change anything?
I understand it fully. And it's a thought that I've had about marriage in the past as well. I don't really feel that way anymore. But when I was younger, it was just kind of like, well, if the relationship works, you don't need to prove it to anybody. But it's just about your own personal preference, you know? And they're in a relationship where two people feel two different ways. And so they have to work through that.
And I do think that Terry also, even though her family knows, I still think that there is more of a fear of judgment.
Yeah.
Than Pat has. Well, Pat doesn't give a shit anymore.
And we see, you see when Terry starts to change her mind. It's kind of, I don't think it's a coincidence when Terry changes her mind. And we'll see that in a little bit. So this is when we start to meet the amazing Terry Donahue, the baseball player. We've mentioned it a few times. So when we first see her, or we mentioned the fact that she was a baseball player a few times. And when we first hear this mention, she's showing her baseball cards and she's signing all these baseball cards. And she was talking about the fact that she was part of the original All-American Baseball League. And she was one of the first female baseball players. And people get really excited when they hear that she was part of like a league of their own. And so when she pulls a signed baseball card out of her purse, it makes them really happy and excited. So she's like, I make sure I always have a stack of them in my purse just in case, which I think is the sweetest thing.
Yes, it's so cute because what she says is, you know, a lot of times when people have like a stack of signed headshots or whatever, it feels very self-serving. With Terry, it's very clear that it's about bringing joy to the other person. Like, that's what she said. These little cards have brought so many smiles to people.
They have.
And it's so fucking cute.
And I think, and honestly, more than the cards, I think it's Terry that brings a smile to people's faces. I think that the card is an added bonus in memory of that time. But I think that she could steal anyone's heart any second, you know? So back in the 40s, baseball scouts were starting to scout through the U.S. and Canada looking for the best softball players. And lucky for Terry, they were coming to Canada. That was something that she wasn't expecting. And Terry has loved to play ball her entire life. She talked earlier in the film about her closeness with her father, and she mentions playing baseball with her brother. She grew up during the Great Depression, and there wasn't much to do. So Terry would play ball with her brother, who would he would throw me grounders and make it as hard as he could because he wanted to see me fail. And that made her really good and like want to be the best that she can be. So a scout came to Saskatchewan when she was 19, and then she came to the U.S. when she was 20, all by herself, to Wrigley Field, I believe they said, to do these tryouts. And during these tryouts, she gets hit really hard by a ball on her eyebrow. And they're trying to pull her off because she's, you know, this girl who got hurt. And they're like, let's go get you some stitches. And she goes, no, put a Band-Aid on it. I'm going back out. I'm not finished. And I'm like, yes, girl. And you see a photo of her with that patch over her eyebrow, and she's in position, ready to catch. She was a catcher. And it's great. She ended up being signed with the Peoria Red Wings and touring and playing with them for 4 years. She was never traded. And yeah, she had an incredibly successful yet short baseball career.
And that's amazing. I mean, it's truly amazing that there could have been a documentary all about that, which again, I feel like the filmmaker, and maybe it's because of his proximity, his relationship to Terry, he wanted to do her life justice. However, it really takes this documentary into a new, it shifts focus in a way that I'm not sure is totally helpful. Like, not that it wasn't fascinating or wonderful to hear. I'm so glad that they covered that. But as far as telling a love story, they went into so much depth in that I really do feel like it pulled focus. They did manage to pull it back and incorporate Pat back into that conversation.
And they did. And this was the first time that Terry had ever heard of a lesbian. That was one thing that I'm glad that they brought up. So they were talking about her baseball career, and she became like best of friends with this woman named Betty. And Betty kind of came up to her one day and was like, "Terry, I don't know if you've heard, but there are these girls out there and they like other girls and they're coming for you." Like, that's how it sounded like this girl Betty was talking to Terry.
Well, and that's how Terry interpreted it as well, clearly.
They would push the dressers against their doors. They would hide in their rooms and lock themselves away. Like, she was so afraid because she had never heard of this before, and she was made to believe that this was a thing to be afraid of, you know?
Right, yeah. And so they're discussing this whole thing, and then they talk about, to kind of like move it back into the love story, they talk about how Pat and Terry ended up meeting and getting together. So Terry was something like 22, and she went back home and she was playing hockey in Canada. They were playing together, and, you know, things kind of took off from there. So they played a few days together, and then it became...
Can we say really quick that the rink is in a place called Moose Jaw?
Moose Jaw. Yeah, they're from Moose Jaw.
Moose Jaw. Moose, I had to
which
add
is the
it.
Most Canadian name I've ever heard.
It's so Canadian. So I'm sorry, continue.
No, you're okay. So they ended up meeting, and it was very clear on both ends, actually. I think it was fairly mutual that this was kind of like it for them. And it was interesting to hear Terry tell it, because she was saying, like, it wasn't anything I had ever considered at all for myself before. And it felt very much to me like, maybe if Terry had been around today, maybe she would have classified herself as more of like a pansexual, where it's like, it's not necessarily about the fact that it wasn't women in general. It was Pat in particular. You fell
it
in love with
could
this
have been.
Person. Yeah, yeah. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not attributing, you know, anything.
Well, but she,
to her sexuality.
Of course, but she. But she did fall in love with the person.
Right,
she
because
did.
That's what she said. She never had an attachment or an attraction to anyone.
Besides Pat.
Besides Pat. So it was just like, she met Pat and it was Pat. And like, that
it
was it.
It.
You know,
yeah, exactly.
And Pat felt the same way. She wrote her this beautiful letter.
Can I read it?
Wait, it's not the one that they read later.
No, it's the short one.
Yes, yes.
That Terry just quotes. So she, this must not be verbatim, because Terry just quotes this, or she's read it so many times that it's memorized. But Pat says to Terry, "I'm a reader and I read a lot of stories, but I've never known where another woman had loved another woman. Above all things, I hope it's mutual." And then Terry says, she's like, "All I wanted to do was just turn around and run back to her." And it was just, it's like a movie.
It's beautiful.
Like, that's that story, and some of the other stories to come in these letters, that's what I wanted out of this movie. That feeling
exactly.
I got when I heard Pat.
Absolutely.
Or when I heard this story that Terry told. It was so beautiful. And this was when they kind of started having to start sneaking around together a little bit. They joke about checking into a hotel with nothing on them to kind of like get rid of suspicion, and just stayed in bed together the whole weekend. And there's bed photos. There's bed photos galore of the two of them in bed in this movie. They loved taking photos in bed together. They do talk about some of the relationships that these women had with men in the past, and it's not important to focus on. And that was another kind of weird thing, that I feel like they focused a lot on their past dating life. But Terry was with a guy named Bill from Peoria, and Pat almost got married at 18. And Pat has an interesting background with her love life, because,
well, not just her love life, her whole life, like, people around Pat
die a lot. And she is constantly getting engaged, and then all of her fiancés die. So men stay clear of Pat. Like, I think there might be an issue.
And not just men, her parents. Like, she, a lot of
brothers.
People, her brothers, she was one of seven children. She had one sister and five brothers. And four of those brothers died.
Mm-hmm. It's and one of them...
tragic.
One of them was in World War II. Two of them were in World War II. One of them was a pilot, and he was actually done with his tour for World War II, and they borrowed him for one more flight, and he got shot down over Germany. Mm-hmm. It's a horrible, sad story.
And then her mother died, and then her father remarried, and then her father and her stepmother died. So
yeah, and they were kind of assholes, too. I actually tried to Google this train accident because her father and stepmother died being hit by a train. And I was like, I wonder if there's like an old timey article or anything written about it. But no, I couldn't find anything. I love the story that Terry tells, that her boyfriend or fiance, whoever it was, Bill, would travel with her to the baseball games, but Pat would as well. And they would sleep together in a hotel room, Pat and Terry, and Bill would have to get his own room, which I think is really funny. Again, there were clues, people. We could have figured this out.
Right, but that could easily have been explained as, like, men and women did not cohabitate at that time.
That is true.
And you would stay with your girlfriend. You know, I think that they used all of that stuff to their advantage for sure.
Yeah, exactly. So this is when they bring up that Terry's father felt a very strong connection to Pat. And I think that was probably another thing that brought them closer together, because Terry has such an intense love for her father. So the fact that he loved Pat that much as well, I think brought them even closer together. And when Pat lost her parents, Terry's parents kind of stepped in and gave her that love that she'd been missing her whole life.
Right. And they beautiful. Also do talk about whenever they're, you know, they are kind of bouncing back and forth between the past and the present. And they're interviewing Pat, and she's saying, you know, a few years ago, so probably when her and Terry had been together for something like 60 something years, she said, I decided I wanted to tell somebody. So she told her brother, and she was very, very close with her brother. And she told her brother that she and Terry were a couple and that they were considering getting married. And her brother immediately said, this will hurt our family. Don't tell anybody. I don't want you to tell anyone in my family. Do not get married. It would damage our family, essentially.
Well, and it's interesting that he's saying family, 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 when the way that Pat is telling it, she's like, this is my only family. Like, my brother is my only, like, close relative. So right, it's interesting.
I think he was talking about his own family, like his children.
Oh, no, I get it. I get it. Yeah. But it's just heartbreaking. So let's move on to Tammy's song. Can I sing it?
If you want.
Imagine that I'm playing a guitar, like a ukulele, like ding, ding. She's playing like G, D, G,
right, she,
D over
she knows
and over
like
again.
Two chords, yeah.
Yes, and she's like, I wanted to write a silly song, but I could only think of a love song.
It's really awkward.
It's
I hate
so
that
bad.
Shit.
So everybody's just sitting around a table, and she's sitting at a stool, and she goes, you are my love. I can't sing it anymore, but it's you are my love. You are my love. So many years together, many more to come. You are my love. And then it repeats and repeats and repeats. And if it was anybody else, maybe I would have been like, aw, but it's Tammy and I hate her. So I was really upset. But it has a really strong effect on Terry. So it's kind of worth it. This might have been the moment that she realized that she really had her family's support in this, because she says, I think after that song, we will get married. And everybody starts jumping in like, I want to be a bridesmaid. Can I be the best man? And everyone's so excited. Then Terry suddenly turns to Pat and she goes, can we do that? And it's so cute.
It is.
Pat's like, of course. And they kiss, and it's just, it's beautiful. Like, I hated how it happened, but I love that Terry finally felt that she had the support of her family that she was so longing for. And she finally feels that she can make this relationship official. You know, it's great. So now, before we jump to a year, we do see Terry doing some of her exercises. And we don't need to talk about this because it's not important. Again, it's 10 minutes. It didn't need to be in the film. But you can see when she's working out that she is still an athlete at heart. She goes 110% with her physical therapy, and it is inspiring. So then we fast forward to a year later, and Pat tells us that Terry's health is deteriorating, and Diana comes into town. I fast forwarded through this scene this time around. Tell me your thoughts about the conversation between Diana, Pat, and Terry at the table.
Okay, well, here's the thing. All right, so we are running a little long, so I'm going to try and do this concisely. But this film, it's at this point where the film shifts from being a love story about Terry and Pat into really a story about family and aging, which is interesting. It is interesting. It's something that we're all going to have to go through. It's just a different story than the one I was prepared to watch. And what you see is Terry's health has deteriorated greatly. And because of that, I do understand where Diana is coming from. And I also, if this was my mother, I would be incredibly frustrated. So I understand that, because Diana is trying to get them to make a decision, and Pat does seem incredibly hesitant to make any decisions, which is hard, because you're like, you guys cannot keep living like this. She cannot be taken care of in this way. I don't care if you're in a home here or if you're in a home in Edmonton, you need someone to look after you. We have to figure that out. So I understand her frustration. However, the way she focuses herself in this conversation is annoying. I don't know right words to say, because
and
I get it.
And this felt very intrusive to me. Like, I shouldn't be watching it. It was very uncomfortable. It didn't need to be in the movie. And the director is this woman's son. You know, it's a very intimate moment that I didn't feel like needed to be added to this documentary. He could make another documentary about all of this, and I would be prepared.
Well, and it was a little confusing to watch it and understand, because there's a moment. So they're discussing their options, right? And then they go to bed. Terry and Pat go to bed, and Pat does say to Terry, I don't want you telling her anything. Don't tell her anything. And that is what sets Diana off the next day, because she's like, why would you keep this from me? I heard you say not to tell me anything last night. And it makes me wonder if her son told her. Now that I know that her son is the director of this film, because I wondered watching it how she knew that that was said. And so I don't know. This movie,
it's weird. And
it's okay. This movie is strange in that way, and I understand the criticism of it in that way, because there is criticism. There are lesbian writers in particular, or other members of the LGBTQ community, who feel like this was a misfire. And I feel like the film was a misfire in some ways. While I think it was an important story that needed to be told, and it gave me like warm fuzzies when they were talking about their relationship, it went all over the place narratively. And again, I honestly feel like there are only a few points that we need to hit at the end of this movie.
I was just gonna say, the end of this movie, we can wrap up in just a few seconds. They do decide to get married. I want to point out that Jack and John are there.
Jack and John are there, and it is beautiful. So what happens is, finally, Pat does concede. She understands. She is told, she gets it. And also, this was a conversation I was having with Anthony, because Anthony was basically like, why is Pat being so resistant? And I was like, well, listen, when you're old, you're dealing with your mortality, you're having to face that. To me, the idea of leaving your home, moving all of your possessions, and basically deciding we're moving into the place we're gonna die in, that's a hard and very scary decision to make. And so I don't fault her for having that fear. But they do finally decide to move into a place together. They go to a nursing home there in Chicago area. That was the kind of the compromise that they had decided on. And not long after they moved into that nursing home together, did they decide to get married. And it was very cute.
It was very sweet. It was very simple. They both looked beautiful. It was so simple. The vows weren't anything out of the ordinary, very traditional, but it was just a really, really beautiful
moment. But they made it official.
Moment.
And that was, it was they lovely. Did. And they both exactly. admitted at that point that it was the right decision. They'd made the right decision for them to basically go somewhere where they could get help and be taken care of. But almost
exactly.
immediately after their marriage, or at least that's the way the movie made it look, Pat, I think, had some kind of surgery. She was in the hospital. Terry was not doing well.
And Terry gives Pat the most beautiful kiss on the hand I've ever seen. That's when the tears started flooding.
Because
it takes her like 10 seconds to reach Pat's hand.
Yes.
And then gives the shakiest, lightest, most tenderest kiss on her hand. And it just, tears were just free falling on my face both times I saw that.
It's incredibly beautiful. And I do want to say that the love that these two women have for each other is palpable throughout the entire movie. Like, at one point, and this is in the trailer, Pat is asked, "What does Terry mean to you?" And she's tearing up and her voice is shaking, and she says, "She means everything to me."
And she says it so emphatically. She means everything to me.
It was clear to me that that is the truth about the way that she feels.
And the way that they talked to each other when Pat was sick in the hospital, and Terry was like, "Well, I'll make sure to be real nice to you." And Pat was just like, "You're always nice to me, Terry." And it's just, they have this old married couple vibe to them, but with a love that I don't think I've ever seen two old people have for each other after being together so long.
It's a deep understanding is like what it is. It's like, you know this person. That's what I felt when I watched them, was like, these are two people who know every inch of the other person. They know every fiber of that person.
And
that was beautiful.
Pat was actually interviewed by Oprah, and Oprah asked what advice Pat would have for people who want to have a long-lasting relationship like she and Terry had. And Pat says, "When you're in a relationship, you better give it everything you've got. You're going to share this. It's going to be part of your life. It's going to be wonderful if you're all in it together." So after we see them, they're in an RV. Are they going back to Canada? I can't remember at the end of the movie.
They did decide that at the very end, when both of them weren't doing very well, specifically Terry, her Parkinson's has gotten very bad.
Yes, that's right. They're in Canada.
That they decided they were going to move up closer to family. Pat decided that this is what, truly what it said to me was, Pat had decided this is what Terry needed, because it was very clear that Terry wasn't going to be around that much longer. And if this is what she truly like wanted or needed, was to be around her family, then that's what they were going to do. So they pack up their stuff, they get in an RV, and they go to Canada.
They sure do. And that is the end of the movie. But I do have a short update. So Terry passed away March of 2019, so about a year ago. It seems like it's still March, so it seems like exactly a year ago to me right now. Pat is now 91 years old, and she likes to spend her time at the casino, the movies, and playing bingo. And another interesting turn of events, Diana and Auntie Pat are besties now.
Right, they became close. I did read that
really,
as well. They worked on their relationship, so it was actually good that they moved back to Canada. They had the opportunity to get to know each other, really.
Yes, and Diana even refers to their relationship as a love affair. Like, they see each other 5 days a week. They live a few doors apart from each other. Pat is very close to Diana's four-year-old granddaughter and loves her. And when Oprah asks Pat how she thinks Terry would feel with the response to this movie, Pat says that Terry would say, "I'm glad I was a part of this."
I think she would. God. I mean, the two women are incredible. And for as much as I feel like this movie narratively needs a lot of work, and I don't think it was some kind of like epic cinematic masterpiece, I do think that the figures at the center of this film are so fantastic, and
they're stars.
The story needed to be told. I do agree. I wish it had been done slightly differently for my own personal taste, but I still enjoyed it, and it still did get the message across that these were two people who loved each other deeply and dearly.
Well, and to put this very clearly, I've watched this twice, 2 weeks in a row now. So if I can watch it twice and get so much out of it both times, like, you know, it's an important thing to watch. Unfortunately, there are just some errors in filmmaking and in things like that, but you know what? It is what it is. It's a great story. It's inspired a lot of people
to watch it and draw their own conclusions. And also, it might make people feel less alone to know that, like, these people, they existed back then. They've existed forever. You're not alone. If you feel like you're going to be in the closet forever, just know that you don't have to be. There have been people who have been in this situation before. And it might bring you some peace in that way.
Yep. Everybody has to find their people. And I think that's another really great lesson we learned from this movie, is that not only did Pat and Terry find each other and each other's, you know, person, they also have created multiple really wonderful families together.
Right. And at a time when straight out coming and like coming out and saying, I'm a lesbian, I'm a gay man, I'm a member of the LGBTQ community, they were around at a time when you could not do that. So the fact that they all found each other, I think, is incredibly profound as well. That they were able to build this family, I think, is amazing.
Exactly. All right. Well, we're going to wrap it up now because, man, I could have talked about that so much longer. I had so many notes. Keegan, feel free to cut any sections out of this that you feel like just need to go. But I would really love to hear your thoughts, not Keegan, the listeners I'm speaking to right now. I would love to know your thoughts, Keegan, just kidding, about what you think of this movie. If you've seen it, if you haven't seen it yet and you've just listened to the episode, I highly recommend, like I said, watching the movie. But I really want to know what you guys think. What do you think of the way the story was told? What are some of your favorite moments? What are some moments that really bugged you? Because I think there's a lot of great conversation starters in this documentary.
Totally.
For a lot of different reasons.
And I will also put the one article that I did find. Most of the articles were actually very positive, but I did find one that had a lot of critiques that I thought were a very valid point. Mm-hmm. So I will add that to the show notes if anybody wants to give that a read. Watch the movie first, draw your own conclusions, and then give that a read.
Yeah, exactly. So we would love to hear from you, though. So email us at neighborhoodfeminist@gmail.com, or you can direct message us on Instagram at @angryneighborhoodfeminist.
We have a Facebook group and business page. You can leave us a review on our business page and also just hang out in the group. I post in there every now and again. You can also leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We love getting your reviews there. You can also find us on Twitter at YAMF Podcast.
Y-A-N-F
Podcast. You can also listen to us on Radio Public. It is a free way for you to listen, and it helps us out just a little bit.
Just a little bit. All right, everybody, thank you so much for listening to another episode. With all of that being said, we encourage you
to rage on.
Bye.